This is just a quick editor's note. This episode was supposed to come out a few weeks ago, but where I'm located in Austin, we got hit by a huge freeze that knocked out our power for about a week. Then I had to visit family in Florida, so we thought we'd give this episode out as a, you know, late week bonus episode. So enjoy.
But hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Guantanamo Bays,
a Cuban cousin Kiki.
I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
How you doing, Jules?
I'm doing well. I feel like my days have been filled with busy work, and that's and that's what keeps the voices at bay, boy.
What's keeping you busy these days?
I'm just writing a lot. Stella's trying to get her groove back.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like you lost your groove?
Girl, like every day of my life.
Why?
Body dysmorphia.
Body dysmorphia.
Because I'm told I'm thin or like sinewy, and I will never see what you see.
It always comes down to body dysmorphia. Most of our problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Or trying to fuck, which is like related closely to body dysmorphia.
They're not connected.
They're not connected.
But you've been doing fine in that department, it seems.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm taking a break. I told you I'm in a support group right now. I'm like unpacking decisions about... I'm just unpacking the choices I've made and where I'm going from here.
Whatever you want to share about that, share it. If not, you don't have to.
Yeah, I feel like this go-around, and I know our producer just laughs it up with a little sorbet spoon on my tails. I'm like... cold sores and shit.
But he's kept all that in so far. So this is a pro sex positive podcast.
It is. And me not talking about it doesn't mean that I'm sex negative. I'm very much sex positive. I'm told constantly that I'm the Samantha in the group.
Do you take that mostly as a compliment?
Yes. I was shocked when I first heard it. I couldn't believe they would compliment me like that.
It kind of makes sense because Samantha was always... Well, I mean, first of all, clearly the more sex positive out of all of them, but also the most sexually active.
Yeah. And just dressed like a boss bitch and stuff. Not to, like, I'm here in my slovenly Dickies jacket, but...
You're just like a boss bitch in your own right. Like,
totally.
The boss bitch who goes out to eat Noshi Sushi in LA on a Wednesday night. That's your brand.
Yeah. Samantha that was a lot of people's brands tonight. That restaurant was too crowded, Brian.
Samantha was high fashion in Manhattan.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they put her in Escada. And...
two sides of the same coin, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
How long have you been called the Samantha of your group?
Probably once I became more public about my escapades, just as like, you know, as something to kind of...
Are you the one that they tell campfire stories around? Like, oh, Julian's got another one here.
No, because my friends, most of whom I know from going to college in New York City, are like intentionally jaded. I mean, just jaded by years of conditioning. So that doesn't wow them as much. I think my provincial brother out in the suburbs of Illinois looks at it much more like cheese meh.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just laughs it up.
What, Alec?
No. My brother, Andre.
Oh, your literal brother. when he said my provincial brother, I was like...
I've told you, Andre makes like a minstrel act out of my gayness and stuff. Like, I'll be like, hey, Andre. And he's like, hey, girl. And I'm like, Andre, like...
He code switches for you.
He code switches for me. Which is nice.
He does it out actually. Of... Yeah, I'm sure the intentions behind whatever code switching it is are purely, you know, are pure.
Yeah. Well, I could switch to survive, to not be strung up on a barbed wire fence.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not as worried about that these days, though.
Well,
depends where you are, right?
Yeah, I suppose. LA's a big city. Girl, Glendale's terrifying. No, I'm just kidding.
So we talked a little bit, a couple episodes, about your trip to Egypt and how you were very diplomatic. When people asked you, why aren't you married? You would say, oh, it's just different where I'm from. Mm-hmm. How do you think the public reaction would be if you were just like, I am out and proud?
Well, I am out and proud.
But in Egypt.
Oh, what do you think they'd
You're
think?
Out?
What do you think they'd think of me?
No, or just, Are you afraid of any potential consequences?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, as much as I was like, yeah, I don't want to offend any Muslims. Like, yeah, also, like, I don't want my hand chopped off.
That always seems to be the go-to. I mean, that's the go-to punishment I hear for thievery.
Yeah.
But for gayness, I'm afraid of what they might chop off in that case.
I don't know. And I can't speak to like the specific politics.
It's just crazy that to this day, there are anti-sodomy laws.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's just weird. It's like, theoretically, that you could abolish or illegalize anal sex. But that's obviously, that's what sodomy is. Did you not know that?
Wait a minute. So, like, straight couples couldn't butt fuck either?
Not legally.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, but that's why gay rights won, then. You want to fuck your... You want to go home, you nasty straight man, and fuck your wife in the ass.
That's the easiest way to legalize, you know, just living a gay existence is just legalizing sodomy. Because, wow. Because that was how they were able to... put you behind bars as a gay man is like, well, you're committing sodomy, that's illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. We came in here with a whole docket and now you're bringing up sodomy laws, so I want to say this really quickly about it.
Please.
I kind of fetishize them.
The laws? Like anti-gay laws?
Like having sex at a time where there were sodomy laws. Like in America. Like I think of like the 1930s and like, or like the sailors after World War II, you know? Like, which by the way is one of the sources of drag culture. All these Navy men from Hawaii went to, you know, moved to San Francisco after the war and they'd been fucking on the boat, so they kept fucking on the mainland. And before you knew it, you had, you know, Judy Garland impersonators and on the Castro.
It wasn't all that long ago. It says right here, the majority of U.S. states repealed sodomy laws like 21st century. So, I mean,
oh my God.
There was a hallmark Supreme Court case in 2003 in our state of Texas, as where a lot of Supreme Court cases get decided.
Yeah, my favorite decisions on Supreme Court cases.
And they struck down a Texas sodomy law. They deemed it unconstitutional, which I.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, the Supreme Court did that.
I know Texas didn't, but at least one good decision came out of Texas. That's kind of what I'm looking at this macro, baby.
It's usually the Supreme Court ruling against what the Texas courts ruled.
Yeah, okay, fuck, never mind. That's why you're in my life, is to explain to me basic ass shit.
Credit to the state of Texas for being the through line of all these decisions, even if they're on the wrong side of them.
Tort reform. Did you ever see Hot Coffee, that documentary?
No.
It's really good. And a lot of tort reform and like the loss of consumer rights, you know, the rise of like arbitration clauses and stuff, mm-hmm. came from that hot coffee incident at McDonald's and how the media spun it as like this kooky old lady just like couldn't.
But no, she had.
Couldn't so keep much, her lid closed.
She had so much legal precedent to sue McDonald's.
And the coffee was hot, bro.
Well, she'd continuously said it's too hot. McDonald's would make the coffee too hot because people would. The idea was it would cool down on your commute to work.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd been burned by it before. Like, multiple people have complained. It was at literal scalding temperatures.
Yeah. The pictures are gnarly of her thighs and stuff.
And the fact that so she...
If you want to see some burnt old lady thighs, bro, watch the documentary.
I'd seen a documentary on it. I guess not this specific one. Not the hot coffee one. But, I think a lot of people know, hopefully, that the whole... The hot coffee lawsuit, which was the poster child for...
The loss of consumer protection.
Right, frivolous lawsuits, essentially. Yeah. You know, look at this frivolous... And it's like, no, this was a person who had a legitimate gripe with a multi-billion dollar company. And of course, their representation is going to spin the narrative in the media, in the courts, and everywhere that matters to go against literally this poor lady who just want...
Yep.
She just wanted her legal bills paid. And they said, go fuck yourself. And then
I wonder if she was based in Texas, because that was like a Texas. Maybe we should look it up. Like tort reform, which was passed by George W. Bush, not H.W.
Yeah. I can't. It doesn't say specifically where, where this happened, but. It just suffice to say.
We'll leave that bookmark open because once we're done recording, Brian, I want to do a quick deep dive on your laptop. Thank you so much.
Hey, speaking of which, you wanted to bring up a few topics today. We're going to do our normal segments. We're going to do the world according to Jules, where I get your gut reactions on this week's headlines. But really quick, you had a few things that you wanted to bring up to me that I have no idea what you're about to talk about.
All right. So the first is, I saw Michael Imperioli's Architectural Digest.
You love these videos.
I love them.
Can you explain what they are?
So there's a camera crew that knocks on the door of a celebrity's house. The celebrity opens the door.
They know they're coming.
Duh.
This is a surprise.
Rehearsed, it's rehearsed, like, down to the second.
Ad nauseum, yeah.
Maybe not ad nauseum. Depends who they have to work with, these camera crews. And Vogue does a similar thing, 73 questions.
Which does feel rehearsed ad nauseum.
Totally. But, like, now they lean into, like, the comedic aspects of it feeling rehearsed.
Right.
Big fan of both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but Architectural Digest, and I also saw David Harbour's today. It's been a popping week.
Wow. Because
he's married to Lily Allen from, like, 2005 Pop Fame.
I didn't know that David Harbour was married to Lily Allen. Violent Night, right? Violent Night's David Harbour.
Yes, did you see that?
I never did, but I heard good things.
It was good. Well, anyway, I digress. Michael Imperioli's Architectural Digest, the reason why I want to bring this up is because his decor makes, like, the Trump Palace in, like, late 80s New York look paltry. Like, Michael Imperioli loves his, like, gaudy.
The gold.
It's, like, gaudy Italian decor.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point,
a bunch of saints around the house, like, idols, you know.
No, it's more like neoclassical, like Roman Greco depictions.
Uh-huh.
of like gods and stuff. we should look.
I'm googling. Go ahead, keep describing.
And so there's one room that he walks into, and it's just like a bunch of like Buddha, like paintings of Buddha, and a bunch of like silk tapestries and stuff. And he's like, you know, I chant every day, so that's why I come to chant. But my favorite part that I'm leading up to the best part of this, he shows his television room to the camera crew, and he's like, we watch a lot of things in here. American Dad. I love American Dad. I know I'd never miss an episode. And I was like, of all the things on my bingo card for Michael Imperioli, him watching American Dad was not on it.
Just that he's religious about Seth MacFarlane, that Michael Imperioli is like, don't miss an episode of American Dad.
A little bit. And like, I like American Dad, but because of that, this Architectural Digest video last night, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a whack at the AMDAD.
It definitely seems to juxtapose like the architectural aesthetic that now we're going to watch the Seth MacFarlane cartoon.
That's it, Brian. Damn. Yes. It's like the dissonance between his decor and then him being like, and I love to watch
Roger the Alien
over syndicated
cracks my shit up, dude. It's funny because I'm just looking at some photos of the Architectural Digest set spread, and it feels like he's really leaning into his White Lotus season 2 self. It's like this. Mm. This looks like a hotel you'd see in, you know, rustic Italy or something.
Yeah, and I love it. I love the decor. I'd expect nothing less from him. He's a prince. I mean, at this point, he's like a king. You know, I just love you know. In my own mind,
he's come a long way.
And but dude, even in The Sopranos, he's so good.
He had a great year, you know. He was in the show That Fool. It was on Hulu.
Didn't see it.
Which, you know, I had a friend or two that had like kind of guest starring roles.
Oh,
in
cool.
It. Mm-hmm. And
a soft touch. He has the touch of a Buddhist.
Michael Imperioli.
Yes,
I love.
Like
I
his acting never feels like muscled.
No,
and you know,
it's because he has soft lips. Hot take, but he has soft lips.
You don't gay cuz?
Look at his lips and tell me they don't look super soft. Like,
they look so soft.
Look at that little snarl. Look at that little
He's
Elvis
snarl. Olive oil on that. He's put his mama's olive oil on that.
He looks like he just takes baths in olive oil.
Whatever the Italian word for mensch is, that's what Michael Imperioli is.
Mencha.
Mencha. So definitely wanted to bring that up. And speaking of American Dad, second thing I wanted to bring up. And then I'm done with my preliminary topics that I wanted to hear your takes on.
Go ahead.
But watch the video and then we could really do a deep dive on Michael Imperioli. But speaking of American Dad, did you see King of the Hill was renewed?
I did.
And Brian, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. You are not the first, or you will not be the only person to wish me that. I love King of the Hill so much.
You should try to get on there. For context, by the way, listeners, every time I walk into Brian's apartment, when the door is just unlocked, no one will be in the living room, but King of the Hill is playing on the television.
I want something welcoming. If I'm going to be in the shower while someone shows up.
Oh, really? That's what it is?
Part of it. Part of it. And you know, I'll, like with any show, you burn out on it. Like, I'll watch reruns of The Office till Kingdom Come, but then you burn out, and then you just don't watch it. So, like, King of the Hill, you know, I'll rewatch it every once in a while. I'll rewatch a season and then I'll be like, okay, that's great. Gonna table it. But then a few months go by and then I'm like, you know what? I could really use my Texas fist, my Texas fix right now.
I could really use a Texan's fist right now. Wait, but so have you seen every episode?
Oh yeah.
Every episode. And that's me with South Park, by the way.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I've seen every episode of South Park at this point, too.
Cool. Yeah, that's one that, like, they're going to bury me with, like, the DVDs of it.
You were the first one. I don't know why, but, like, when we were growing up, it was like you felt... It seemed like you were more privy to mature-rated content than I was. Mm. My parents had a pretty long leash with me.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like you had a leash at all. So whenever I visited, I was just like, oh, damn, we're watching South Park. We're watching, like, softcore Skinamax happening. Like, this is great.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. It made me a smarter person. Not than you. Like, you have different kinds of intelligence because I think... I mean, right, you had a long leash.
No.
Yeah. But you were given access to information around, like... finance and stuff. Like, I was given information around, like, experiences in art. I mean, you saw, I don't know. There's no way to set up this binary without sounding like a dick right now.
No, when you said that, I wasn't feeling that way until you started explaining it. And now I feel insecure. Now I feel you being like, oh, no, but you're still smart, too.
Yeah. John Waters once said, if a kid is old enough to ask about it, he's old enough to hear about it or read about it or learn about it. What? And that's kind of my hard and fast, and that's partly why I don't have kids, I'm sure. But, yeah, never say never.
We talked about that. You don't think you'll ever have kids.
No, I don't. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. But, like, fuck, I'm going to need to afford an old folks home or something. Or, like, your pool house. We'll talk it out. I mean, we'll cross that bridge. Hopefully your kids are chill with me.
What is your retirement plan?
A bitch, like this podcast, motherfucker. I don't know.
Everyone, just please hit the subscribe button right now for Julian's retirement.
Not that there's a paywall or anything, but no, we'll get there.
Yeah.
By the way, another quick aside. I know we're all over
the damn.
Oh, don't
bring it up.
So this sound of this metal tapping against my leg.
You
could
put it somewhere else.
Is Brian's Fantasy Football Champions League belt. And it's a leather belt. It looks... Now I understand why you're so into fantasy football, because you're a former boxer. And this is exactly the kind of belt they give, like, a heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's dumb as fuck.
Every fantasy league, depending on its level of seriousness, will have some kind of trophy. Or this one happens to have a belt, and I won that league.
Oh, I thought the belt was standard.
No, on another league, I have a trophy, but I lost. I didn't win last year, so I had to give it up.
The belt's more interactive.
You know what? I've had other people actually compliment the belt, saying that they liked it better than the trophy, but the trophy for the other league is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I just love ornaments that commemorate my success. Is that so bad?
I'm just such a stickler about space and how I'm using space that I feel weird about awards because, like, they don't serve a function. They're not necessarily decorative. Same with degrees. I'm like, I'm not going to take up wall space with a degree when I could put up a gorgeous work of art.
And you lived that.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a degree from an impressive school, and I've never seen it framed anywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. The things around me should be, like, visually enticing or, like, intriguing.
That belt doesn't do it for you?
No, well, that's my point. It has a function. It doesn't need to do that for me. It could stay because it... Whereas but a trophy, you don't use a trophy.
But I'm not going
to
wear it. I gotta hang that somewhere, but I don't even know how to hang it.
Are you going to wear it to the Super Bowl?
No.
Good. Why?
It'd just be too ridiculous. It'd be too ridiculous. I received that belt when we were watching the playoffs game. You were there. I've never seen you so enthusiastic to attend a football game before.
Well, I more
But you texted
just...
me 10 in the morning. Hey, are we still on for the game? I was like, damn, Jules.
I was coming off a night, though, dude. Like,
That's why I was extra surprised.
I needed, like, hair of the dog. I was like, let's just go round two, and then I'll be asleep by 6 tonight. It wasn't about the game, Brian.
Is that what happened?
Pretty much. I told you about my, you know, I won't go into the details of that. I'd rather not. But, like,
I know that kitty cat came out to play last night. That much I knew. Your words.
Did I say that?
Yes.
I just have to play chill in front of your girlfriend, you know?
I know.
I don't want to be like, hey, Hong, I'm, you know, coming in here. I don't know. Shit. You did. Because.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
We can talk about our personal lives for as much as.
Okay.
As much as I try to separate my personal life from the arts.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Because Where does the art come from? It has to come from ourselves.
Yeah, especially if you consider yourself like, whatever, an actor, performer.
Yeah. Do you watch the movie You People, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah?
I did.
So we talked about Velma, right? Which was like famously... It just has... It's just funny that no matter what Mindy Kaling does, it always turns into the same story. It always turns into the same story.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay, but what are all the things that she's done?
Well, The Office is so different from some of her other stuff.
Okay, but her character, you know, her part of it. And I guess I'm talking about not just The Office, but like everything that she's been the showrunner for. Never Have I Ever, the Mindy Kaling
show. I never saw Never Have I Ever.
And I liked it.
Yeah, but you said you drew parallels between
But they took Scooby-Doo and turned it into Never Have I Ever.
I see.
They turned it into the Mindy show, you know?
But I don't want to talk about Velma.
Well, no, so You People.
Sorry.
Well, you're the one who brought it up with me earlier because you wanted me to watch You People. And then you're like, it's funny how it's the anti-Velma. And I'm curious what you mean by that.
Well, because they still deal with like identity politics in a way that like, A, it doesn't contradict itself.
The way that Velma does.
The way that Velma does, like making fun of Fred's little pee-pee. Mm-hmm. and like, I guess that's A through C. I mean, that's my point. I don't know.
Here's a big B for me. It's also funny.
Yes.
It was a lot funnier.
I miss Eddie Murphy.
He was really good in it.
He was so good.
And it's just playing that austere, just this kind of silent but intense dignity of who he is and his culture, his background, and also like the anger that comes with like just the cards that you're dealt, playing it in such a great way and channeling that anger towards, you know, the canvas that is Jonah Hill.
Right.
And I like the movie. It was actually one of the better pure comedies I've seen in a long time. My only issue with, and not just this movie, but other things that I would call like social comedies, but sometimes it's just like, it's unrealistic how much people put their foot in their mouths sometime. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, Jonah Hill plays this guy who has a podcast with a black co-host and they talk about the culture. It's so us, right? They talk about the culture all the time. But then as soon as he meets his girlfriend's parents, his black girlfriend, fiance's parents, he doesn't know how to talk to black people all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that seemed a little silly to me that someone who has a black best friend and spends all this time talking now all of a sudden clams up when he's actually interacting with black people.
Well, I'm sure part of it too is that those are the parents of the woman that he's in love with.
Mm-hmm. But so, and not to spoil it for people, but you know, takes him to Roscoe's, doesn't know how to,
which if you're not in LA, that's like a chicken and waffles place.
Right. And then when he's in the car with Eddie Murphy and he's playing N-Words in Paris, he's like, I love that song.
That was a funny scene.
It was a funny scene. It was a funny scene, but it was also like, you know.
I also thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, like, I mean, I love my parents, but they will still do shit like that kind of.
It was a little reminiscent.
They'll like I mean, not that I've seen my parents do this, but I can see them doing it. Where like they'll see a black girl and be like, "Wow, your hair's beautiful," and I'm like, "That wasn't necessary." You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And like, you know, in theory, you want to live in a world where you can compliment anyone on anything and not feel weird about it. But that's not the world we live in.
I know.
You
know.
So you have to take it with a grain of salt of the things that you saying how it could be interpreted.
But let's put that on the Utopia vision board.
That is the Utopia vision. The fact that I could say that any of us could say anything to any one of us and it not be misconstrued or come with all this baggage.
Yeah.
You know, this that is absolutely and has been on my vision board for a long time.
Okay, cool.
And I probably grew up.
I was like reaching for the glue gun. Like, let's do it. I'm putting it on.
No, I mean
do you have cardboard?
Literal vision board. How would you make that onto a vision board? Would you illustrate your mom telling a young black woman that she likes her hair and then just taping it on the vision board? What would that actually
look like? No, it'd be like a United Colors of Benetton ad. It'd be an abbreviated version of vision.
Yeah.
It's a vision, you know, you need space for other, to collage, honey.
It is a collage. A collage of dreams.
Yeah. I don't like vision boards. They freak me out. I'm scared of my own potential, I guess.
You're afraid of tapping into the power of you.
Just turn off the mic.
So we have a couple things that we might want to cover. I mean, I feel like one of the poster children of the Guantanamo Bay's podcast has been George Santos. in our early times, we've both experienced our meteoric rise and fall, you know, alongside one another. So I guess more details have kind of spilled out about George Santos. What is the latest?
Well, he was, you never know with that one, but wasn't he caught like promising guys he'd marry them and give them green cards if they visited him? Like guys like abroad, you know, like from Latin America and stuff. Which like, damn, can't hate that player, can't hate that game.
Yeah, promised green cards, catfishing threats, how George Santos's ex-boyfriends say they were left feeling trapped, manipulated.
From ABC News.
Do you not trust them?
No, I just think it's worth saying where you're reading this shit from. Yeah. Come on. Let's be part of the solution, Brian. Cite your sources.
I guess. Well, this Tucker is cited Carlson. By multiple sources. The one I pulled up was ABC News. You can also read about it on the Daily Beast and CNN.com and the New York Times.
And other websites that Brian's algorithm knows won't offend him.
No, I'll get Fox results. You know, they'll give me what I'm looking for every once in a while. But yeah, once again, he's not like a congressperson. I don't know if he even expected to make it this far. He's a sick person. Lying is his sickness. And narcissism is a big part of this whole picture with him. He thinks he can get away with whatever, because a lot of liars do get away with stuff because people just don't, you know, double or triple check them. And then once someone gets sick of them, they just move on. They try to pick up the pieces of their own life instead of like bringing this person to justice because, you know, they've been through a lot. So George Santos now being put literally in the court of public opinion in a very, you know, facing now years and years and years of crimes and lies and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's just messy as fuck, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know what to say about the guy. Like, I really, the only thing I don't like about him is that he's a Republican. Like if the left had a guy like George Santos, I'd be like, finally, like someone that just is willing to throw a Molotov cocktail into his own fucking persona, you know? Like, I don't know. Anyway, there's no way I could talk about this and not paint myself into a corner, but
give it a shot.
I like his lack of reverence towards the truth translates for me to just a lack of reverence in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that the left lacks is the, obviously I feel like this podcast, not to like philosophize too much on what we're doing here, but like, I think that's kind of the that always comes up,
which is what
the importance of being irreverent while still being left leaning.
Yeah. The fact that we can make fun of people that we agree with.
Yeah.
And
frankly, make fun of people also that we don't agree with.
Make fun of people that we don't agree with, you know, but that's like, the easy one.
Yeah.
That's the easy one.
Yeah, I know. But I guess, yeah, and it comes back to like celebrating the First Amendment, not being precious about things. Maybe I like George Santos. Maybe I like the way he operates because that's what I would always give Trump credit for. It's like, it's just so shameless that like, it's almost inspiring and like this weird, like postmodern approach to it all.
Everyone on the left is always walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Right. And so
I know, like seeing Nancy Pelosi kneel during all the George Floyd stuff
and her traditional garb.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, I don't know. It just, it ends up coming off as like tone deaf in a way.
Mm-hmm. So, you almost wish that someone on the left could operate as sloppy as this.
Yeah.
Because then it would show like, hey guys, we're not taking ourselves too seriously here. You know, because I think that's what people like, the people who are kind of sick of, you know, whatever politics of the left, that's what they like about the right, is that they're like, well, they're cutting loose and having a good time.
Right. Not to mention, if I was less attractive, who's to say I wouldn't resort to offering guys green cards just to get them in from Colombia? Yeah, looking population.
We'd have no way of knowing. Thank God you're as sexy as you are, right?
No need to really be sarcastic. Really dodged
the bullet there. I'm not sarcastic.
You're such a shit.
I'm not a shit.
I feel like we're bouncing really fast between these topics, but that's also because low key, it was a slow news week, and I told you this too.
A little bit of a slow news week, and just in general, it was a long week last week, long end of the month. So I mean,
yeah, and we'll talk about the Andrea Riseborough stuff again.
Oh, it's not over.
It's not over. Again, as a reminder, Andrea Riseborough was surprise nominated for Best Actress, and the Academy is now investigating it. And so it's just a really interesting thing because her campaign for that nomination may have broken some rules. And anyway, we're going to talk about the Oscars ad nauseum and probably the Super Bowl soon.
So brace yourself.
So for that brace one. Yourselves for that.
I know that you're not, you know, jumping for joy at that one, but
I don't want to talk about what we're doing in the coming
next
weeks.
Episode.
I want to talk about what we're doing this episode. So what do you have, Brian?
Well, it is time for my favorite segment of the show. It's the world according to Jules. And the crowd goes wild. What I do in this segment is I read Julian headlines from the week, and he doesn't know what is coming. I'm reading him headlines. I'm just going to get his gut reaction, his first instinct. Is the first instinct always the correct instinct? We don't know. We have no way of knowing.
Yes, with me it is. That's why you ask the questions.
But it's important to know, why do our brains go there? So, for starters, I'm going to hit one. I'm going to start off with one that hits a little close to home, Julian. It's going to hit very close to home.
You just do this segment to troll me with questions.
Not at all, because this is... I would have given you this headline regardless of knowing your affinity for the subject matter.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne cancels all shows, says his touring career is over. Go.
Well, I have that one because I practically have a Google Alerts for the Osbournes because that was my first ever favorite television show in my teen years.
Mm-hmm. I remember you were big on the Osbournes.
Yeah. And not to give people too much insight into how much money I grew up with, but we flew to Los Angeles our sixth grade year, Brian and I, and our friend Jose Pablo, who I've mentioned, to go see the house, to go see the Osbourne house. So yes, I've read this headline, Brian. I'm sad that he's retiring. I think he should have retired a while ago. Mm-hmm. And kept making reality television.
Some of the comments I saw were like, I saw him 20 years ago and he looked 500.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago. He is 74 now.
And when I think about guys like that, it justifies my drug use. Like, I'm literally picking up my phone right now to text a dealer. Like, because I'm like, the rock generation, man. I don't know.
Well, there's...
a lot of them are still around.
Yeah, but that's why they're the exception to the rule. That's why people talk about them. Because they're like, oh man, can you believe this guy survived?
That's a fair point.
Think about all the ones that died.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah. Whatever. My Jose Pablo, who lives in Baltimore, is a very lovely dog walker, was like madly addicted to all sorts of scary drugs. And now she's a dog walker.
Well...
People turn it around,
they
Brian.
They do. And I guess this is... But that's something I haven't heard of, that he should have quit music a long time ago and just kept doing reality TV. Why did they stop?
Well, I mean, I was kind of kidding about reality television. I want the Osbournes to be as happy as they can be.
Mm-hmm. Him and Sharon have had problems, right? He, like, had this affair with this...
Yeah, they're at odds. Sharon is more, she's more television-centric than Ozzy. Ozzy likes the thrill of a live performance.
Well, and I think she likes being... Yeah, he likes the live performance. And I think Sharon loves being a brand. And she's done a very good job of creating her own brand, kind of post-Osbournes.
I encourage everyone to revisit that show because it is hilarious.
This was before we knew the format of reality TV.
Yeah.
So it was probably as close to actual reality as we got. Maybe they saved some stuff. I'm sure they did. But it's not as much of like this narrative. You still feel like everything was kind of chaotic, but that was what made it so enjoyable.
Yeah. You know, on that trip to L.A., we saw some event and they were selling DVDs out front the event. Mm-hmm. And they were selling season one of the Osbournes on DVD.
Oh, like a pirated DVD?
No. It was like it had fallen off a truck or something because it was like perfect packaging and everything. Wow. And I bought it from the vendor and I knew, because this is back when I memorized DVD release dates for movies that I was really looking forward to buying. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was early, that it was like a few days early. So I'm walking back. This was like during a break or like into the theater, and I'm walking to the theater And this was here in LA. And one of the men that was walking alongside me goes, "Oh, season one of the Osbournes. Isn't that supposed to come out in a few days? Why do you have that
early?" Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is an industry town up in here. Even this homie to my right knows, you know, the DVD release date.
Well, and back then there was big news. Like nowadays things just drop and yeah. they stream.
Right.
But back then it was like, it was news that the Osbourne DVD was going to drop in a few days.
Yeah.
And like, if you could get a copy, it feels very Jingle All the Way with like, I got to get this toy for my kid or whatever.
That's,
you
know? True. But again, I don't think it's because it was competitive to get that DVD. I just think the vendor.
Oh, fair enough.
I was in a city where there would be a guy that had access to it early.
Yeah. But just, I guess, I feel nostalgic for the retail rush of things being released.
For sure.
Hey, this movie came for out sure. today. Oh my God, I got to get it on DVD, Blu-ray.
Right. We're such 90s kids in that regard.
We are. We are.
It's like, I don't the new Nerf gun, bro.
I don't
like,
you guys miss are in your it. 30s. I don't miss it. I guess I'm just in a weird way nostalgic for, you know, thinking of like a physical good that you're anticipating. Because at this point, we really anticipate mostly digital goods.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any physical goods that I anticipate.
Well, you like, you know, anything designer.
Yeah, but I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, it's about to come out. It's about to come out.
That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I don't, I couldn't tell you like when they, I know roughly the month they hit stores, but. And also, girl, I can't afford that retail price. Like, you gotta wait till summer, till winter, till these big sales.
Are you ready for your second story?
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, Ozzy, please rest.
Ozzy, don't hurt rest. Your spine. Go home to Sharon. Go home to Sharon. She has her arms wide open and joins what at me like.
Whatever they want, Brian, they need to be happy. But Ozzy needs to take care of himself finally. He owes that to himself. Ain't you tired, Ozzy?
Apparently. Well, same that's question. The thing. 4 years ago, he'd injured his spine. So he cannot physically endure the rigors of a tour schedule.
I don't think he's done, though. I bet he'll do, like, another few shows.
One final, like... You mean, like, shows? Like, live shows?
Multiple shows.
They'd have to be local, though, right?
Knowing Ozzy, he comes from the time where, like, it's like this is Spinal Tap with the thing that opens. Like, he could come out in, like, a fucking... looking like Stephen Hawking in, like, this armored, demonic chair, and it'd be amazing.
Yeah, or almost like a Silence of the Lambs. Like,
yeah, they wheel him out.
Yeah, wheels him out.
And he has, like, the little...
He doesn't have to do anything. That'd be apropos. Take off the mask, feed him a bat.
Yeah.
Put the mask back on.
Yeah.
Man.
We figured it out.
Has Ozzy Osbourne eaten his last bat? Will he ever bite the head off a bat again?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
when know. Was the last time you think he did that? Probably decades ago, right?
I thought he just did it once.
All right. How many times?
I had a way to derail the train, bro.
Osbourne eating a bat. Okay, how many times did Ozzy Osbourne... 40 years ago. Okay.
See, it was one time.
I'm sorry.
But then I think people would keep throwing things up there. I don't think it was ever another fucking... Well, maybe before that, obviously, because how do you get to a bat? I think people would just throw things in glass and bite into it. I don't know.
Yeah. What a wild man.
Anyway, I thought this was the world according to Jules. Not the
all
world.
Right, Julian, you ready for your second story? You'll like this one. You love female criminals. Photo exposed as a 19-year-old woman who scammed $50,000 by lying about cancer battle. This one also hits close to home. A 19-year-old who raised over $50,000 to help her with her cancer battle has been accused of faking her illness to gain cash, police said. She claimed to have stage 2 pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is as bad as cancers get.
I've heard that.
She claimed to have a tumor the size of a football wrapped around her spine. Here's her mugshot.
Yeah, they're loving watching the mugshot on the podcast, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
I'm glad you showed me the mugshot because obviously...
It paints a picture.
Well, I like her, obviously.
That's how you start.
Whatever, dude. Like, people in my close friend circle... have faked cancer, and like, it's not a good look, obviously, but again, this I grew up in the house of forgiveness, child, so I don't know what to tell you. Like, obviously that money needs to be returned, right? It was like a scam.
Wasn't someone you went to college with who faked cancer?
I'm not gonna talk. I'm not gonna dox her right now.
Okay, but her.
Duh. Right? I feel like, I don't know.
No,
I don't play that shit.
Yeah, I guess I've never seen, and I have known a woman who faked cancer.
Oh, yeah. See, well, there you go.
we were in a serious relationship, and that was kind of what
Was one of the leveraging tools.
That's what she used to keep us together. That
what kind did she say?
Like stomach cancer. Stomach cancer.
It's not far from the pancreas.
And then fake.
So I'm told.
Yeah. And then
now fake. I'm no highfalutin surgeon.
But I've known a man to fake that he was married. Or fake that he claimed that his wife died or something like that. And then he would like Photoshop photos of him and like use photos of kids from like Google searches and
stuff
for those kids. So yeah, I guess women fake cancer, men fake having families.
Yeah.
World goes on.
Or fake having less families than they actually have.
Or that. Yeah. If a man lies, it's about the family he does or does not have. If a woman lies, it's about some tragedy she's going through. We're painting very broad strokes here.
But I don't know what to say about this woman. Like, I obviously money needs to be returned to whence it came.
Yeah, she faked these photos pretty well. She got, like, what looks like a kind of a colostomy bag. But that doesn't look professionally done, right? It's like...
I mean, I think this...
She's standing around hospital equipment, but the hospital equipment does not quite fit with where it should go.
Well, you know what's sad about GoFundMe is it's outsourcing things that should be basic fucking services to the general public. And that's... I don't know. Anyway, you know where I stand on all that.
You could say that. But also, what's sad is it makes the people less trusting when this gets busted. You know, then they're going to be more withholding
their
donations in the future.
And that I have a harder time forgiving her for than for scamming people.
Yeah, sure.
Damn. Wow. Next.
So does that... Oh, you want to go next because you don't want to think about your friends now who's faked cancer.
Faked it. They didn't set up a GoFundMe.
Probably because it was before their time. But man, if it was
no, poppin'. She was very rich, Brian.
Oh, okay. Well, then...
Rich people could fake cancer, too.
Such a weird stance to take. People think that only poor people could fake cancer, but I can promise you, rich people can, too. Then what was... What? So, all right, and I'm just speculating here.
No names. We're not doing this.
No names, because I don't know
what this is. Because if you say a single name, I'm going to ask Grant to edit that out.
No, of course. Okay. Of course. No, I'm just like, what is your incentive to fake cancer? Attention? You know, like...
No. They had missed too many classes. Let's move on. I'm dying, dude. I don't know if she'll listen to this. I don't want to deal with this. So no, like, you know, but I think it's like low-key iconic because it's so ballsy. It's giving cunt. Like,
you say it's giving cunt?
Yeah. Like, that's just so bad, bitch, to be like, fuck it, I'm going to try it. Not that that's her accent, but
well, anyway, and maybe being that rich too, you're like, well, what consequences? Like, what justifies me missing class? Is cancer a thing? Yeah, let's do cancer. But ain't that bad karma?
Anyway, I love her. Keep going.
All right.
I saw this headline.
Okay.
Netflix unveils plans. Scroll up to prevent password sharing.
Your thoughts.
I'm fucked. You're fucked. I'm fucked. Everyone I know is fucked. We're all fucked. Dude, like, do you use your own Netflix?
My particular Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
I share it with my parents. You know, like, they have half the apps, I have half the apps, and we split it evenly.
I have a broad net that I cast. Uh-huh. I have friends of friends accounts that I use. I have...
Yikes.
A lot of... I think the one I pay for is HBO.
It looks like it's
starting. I think I use my parents' Netflix, I use my HBO, and then the friend of friend, I think, is on Hulu. I hope the big guy's over to
Hulu. Paramount Plus, Peacock.
I do the trials, I think.
I'm probably paying for those, to be honest.
No. I always set an alarm to turn off the trial.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to start with Netflix. They're the only streaming giant to really announce this, but... you'll probably guess that others are going to follow suit.
Yeah. You know, as much as I'm, like, excited by how democratized the media landscape has become...
It's really not as much as it looks.
I know, because it's owned, again, by these huge multinational conglomerates that own everything. But, yeah, it's funny because people used to pay for a single service, and that was cable. And now you have a million different platforms that each cost, I don't know, anywhere from $9 to $14.99 a month. And it's like we're paying more now for all of this. And I guess the flip side is you get way more programming. There aren't just three news channels and like a football game on.
But you end up paying the same amount as you would with cable.
I'm arguing you're probably going to pay more.
Pay more.
There's so many
platforms. I remember when streaming first started, like early to mid 2010s, you know, so roughly 10 years ago. I remember just having that thought. I was just like, wait, do people not realize that this is going to turn into another cable situation?
I didn't.
How could you not, though?
I don't know. I guess because also
you're too optimistic?
No, I just don't look at those larger issues like you do, Brian. I don't know. But it's smart.
No, but I'm sure you could if you just thought about it for a second.
Maybe. I also just took for granted. I just thought cable would be around forever. Well, and cable still is around, come to think of it. But so it's just all, it's just more consumer options, which I guess you don't have to pay for all of them. But yeah, it's... And again, it's like democratized, but it's less centralized. And that's what's interesting about it.
What do you think about Netflix in the context
of... less centralized.
What's your opinion on Netflix in the context of all the streaming services?
It's still like top 3 to 5 for me.
But isn't that crazy? It was far and away the top option.
Right.
And I, you know, like Netflix and chill, like whenever a brand is a verb, I'm going to Google something, I'm going to Netflix this. And I'm like, you really made it. But Netflix.
And they pretty much coined binge watching, which is kind of a grotesque term, but.
I agree. But it's, yeah, it, isn't it? It's, we've all kind of universally recognized that Netflix isn't the top dog it used to be.
Right. I think for a while it was looking really grim for them, and I think they're turning it around.
It feels like.
But apparently not enough, because why are they introducing this?
I think this is always part of their plan. You know, I think this is their 5 to 10 years. I mean, how much do you have to just own another company to make a sitcom about the business that you put out of business? Like now Blockbuster is a sitcom on Netflix.
Oh, right.
They have a documentary on the last Blockbuster. Yeah. So it's like, it's funny that this streaming giant that put Blockbuster out of business now has all this content about how they put Blockbuster out of business. That is just like a dunking on the haters moment.
For sure. Well, we've used this phrase before and we'll probably use it again. Don't hate the player, hate the game. This is capitalism working. This is what it looks like when it's just unfettered. When, again, going back to tort reform, there's like virtually no consumer protection.
And this,
like, stabilized streaming rates, motherfucker.
And this probably was not by design. I'll bet if Netflix had their way, it wouldn't be as competitive. But, you know, last week we talked about the Fed trying to break up Google's monopoly, their tech monopoly. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet Netflix would have loved a streaming monopoly. But then, you know, Disney threw their hat in the ring. Everyone, and then Hulu, which was already like a service, just like threw their hat in the streaming arena. And now that's the primary.
And aren't they introducing ads now, Netflix? I think they're introducing like a...
They've been talking about it for years.
Or maybe that was HBO.
They've been talking about ads for a long time on Netflix. They haven't yet done it. But maybe there'll be now, you know, new premium versions and stuff like that. So we just don't know. It's a big old world out there.
Well, all I know is the rate will continue to go up. The same way my internet bill goes up.
Damn, inflation.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know these words that you're using.
I'm mostly being sarcastic because
it's inflation.
Rates in general do go up, but that is part of inflation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to work in this town if I keep going, but like, you know, wages have mostly just stayed frozen for 40 years and yet the cost of goods has gone. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Eggs? Where can I get eggs?
Yeah. Although, maybe I cried wolf on that one because I went to the store and they had plenty of eggs.
Although I did go on Instacart this morning and under the eggs it said requests, like question mark. And then it was like, if you can't get this, then your shopper will make their best, you know, their best choice.
That's like a delivery for groceries?
Instacart, yeah.
Oh, it's Instacart.
Yeah. Well, I get free.
Yeah, of course they're going to be like, we don't know if we have eggs. Got to go in person, homie.
Yeah. But Netflix... making you have your own account now. Can't share passwords. Maybe it's time for things to come.
Yeah, fuck.
That's really bumming you out. I could tell I really...
A little bit, because...
I'm sorry.
I live month to month, homie.
This is the world according to Jules. I made Jules sad, and now it's a sad world.
I want to do a callback or something to elevate the mood here, but... I don't know. It's almost 50 minutes. Unlock the door, Brian.
Just say one nice thing about Michael Imperioli. That'll maybe put you in a better mood.
You're right, he has soft lips.
He has soft lips, I told you.
He does, and he chants every day, and he has the presence of a Buddhist.
It's just funny that
so great.
His place is like, well, you mentioned like gaudy
decorator. And his wife's an interior decorator.
Okay.
But probably also Italian.
When you walk in, it feels very Italian, though, right?
Yes.
And it does have, you know, visages of saints and, you know, Catholic figures in it.
Well, you kind of asked me that, and I said no. It was more like a Greco-Roman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's just why I think, yeah. And what I meant to talk about earlier was, like, the juxtaposition where, like, if he did, then all of a sudden he has this Buddhist room all of a sudden. So you're just, like, walking from, like, thank you, Mother Mary. And then he just, like, go into a temple to Buddha. And I know that they're not counterintuitive. It's just one of those, it's just a funny visual. Visually, it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're going to watch it, Brian.
Okay, we're going to watch
it. I can only explain it so much.
Yeah, I know. But you really wanted to talk about it, and I'm glad that you did.
Because of the American Dad thing.
And I'm just trying to put the, you know, put the Netflix thing off your mind, too.
triggered.
Well,
Brian, I'm going to need your IP address for this Netflix rule. Any final comments?
Yeah.
No. We're getting a new logo soon.
New logo.
We're rebranding, baby.
The official rebrand is coming. We've been doing it slowly but surely. Gonna be better about marketing this podcast. If you're still, you know, if you're listening to the ending here, please rate, like, subscribe. It does so much to help boost this into recommendations in the algorithm. So, you know, whatever y'all could do to support us, we really appreciate it. We're doing this every week. We're not going anywhere, but this is the Guantanamo Bay's podcast. I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you, and good night.